Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome to Leeds Live HQ, and hello to those of you listening on the podcast, which will follow later on today. We are going to hit two birds with one stone. My name is Berwyn Cross, and this is Joe Newis. And as I say, we are here at Leeds Live HQ, and we finally have some modicum of news to talk about. It feels like we've had nothing really significant since Marcelo Bielsa agreed to remain as Leeds United's head coach. But this morning, the fixtures have landed, and our championship fate has become very, very real.
They have. That season is that bit closer today. Obviously, we all knew the fixtures were coming. We all knew the teams Leeds be playing, but there's still that interest, isn't there? There's still plenty of narrative to wrap our heads around. We can start sort of planning out the next 10 months of our lives, isn't it? 10, 11 months, can't we? Insofar as much as you can map them out until Sky go and change everything. And it's probably quite a good place to start, Sky changing everything, because lo and behold, the very first game they've got the teeth into, haven't they, Barry?
Yeah, the very, very first game. We will be going to Bristol City on the 4th of August, not the 3rd and not the 2nd. So I think a month before the fixtures came out, Joe and I predicted that it was very unlikely that we would be playing at 3 o'clock on the Saturday of the first weekend. I think whoever Leeds had played, Sky would have made a point of putting them on live television. So first weekend, of course, it does not clash with the Premier League, so you would have to say interest will be at its highest, viewing figures are at their highest for some time on that opening weekend, with the hunger for football by the time we reach August. Everybody's crying out for some competitive action, so it will be Bristol City away, a 4:30 kickoff on Sunday the 4th of August, and you met that news with a groan of anguish, Joe.
Yeah, it was quite amusing. We were talking last night, this morning, about what our preferred opening day fixture would be, didn't we? And we said, as long as it's not a horrible sort of long journey to somewhere like Cardiff or Bristol, didn't we? And then, lo and behold, it's a long one. I mean, for the fans, it's not great, is it? Because it's 4:30 kick-off on a Sunday, so...
During the school holidays,
yeah.
That stretch of the M5/M4 is not very nice.
I mean, undoubtedly Leeds will sell out their allocation. I think that's obviously a no-brainer. But what time are people going to be getting back to Leeds? It's the game will finish at 6:30, get on the motorways. Three and a half hours on a good run, is it?
But you look at yourself, so, 10:30.
So, there's some late nights there. But, I mean, we know Leeds have got to play them all. It gets one of these long journeys out of the way.
That's the way I'm looking
at it.
Yeah, I mean... It's still fair with her.
In terms of the opponents, well, Bristol, things got quite needly between Leeds and Bristol City the last couple of years, haven't they? The comments from the Bristol City owner, he was obviously the first person to weigh in on Spygate, one of the first people there. So there is a bit sort of bad blood between them. So I think it could be quite feisty. We had some good Lee Johnson quotes today, didn't we? When you were talking about it. That's something you looked at, Aaron, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was about what we are now. It'll be 5 months by the time we get around to the fixture since Leeds were last at Ashton Gate in the game where Patrick Bamford, of course, famously injured himself while scoring what proved to be the winner in what at the time felt like a very, very critical, crucial win for Leeds United. And after that game, Lee Johnson made a point of basically saying he didn't want Leeds to go up automatically. He wanted Leeds to be in the playoffs and he wanted Bristol to pay them. So clearly, straight off the bat, Lee Johnson going out of his way to make no friends in West Yorkshire. And yes, today he has been at Ashton Gate. So Bristol City have made a bit of a thing out of the fixtures release, which is very, very good for their media scene down there. They're making players and manager available for quotes. You would think, had it been any manager picking up Leeds United on the opening weekend, they probably would have focused on one thing and one thing only, which we're pretty bored of now. But that's Spygate, of course.
Still people talk about
the
it.
The little-known saga, which originated back in January now. All done and dusted, new rules in place, fines made.
Yeah.
And yet Lee Johnson has quipped that himself and assistant Jamie McAllister have already rented one of those very expensive-looking houses.
Yeah,
which he doesn't quite realise what he said, but not cheap those houses in leafy Leafy Thorpe Arch.
Yeah.
So he has quipped that they'll be keeping an eye on Leeds United training from one of those back bedrooms. Ha ha ha.
Yeah,
he repeated brilliant. It several times as well, pretty proud of himself.
Yeah, he's been doing the rounds and he seems to be doing it in every interview. So if for any reason you bump into Lee Johnson and he tells you this joke, you've got to pretend you've not heard it before and laugh. But yeah, no, I'm sure Steve Lansdowne will approve of that, the owner, won't he?
And Bristol City, one of those teams that seem to, I don't know if we start slowly, but they do seem to be one of those teams that seem to generate momentum over a long period of time, and it may be that the first weekend may be a good time to play them.
This is what I was saying in the office earlier, wasn't it? It was, I mean, you look what happened to them last summer, you know, they sold a lot of players. You know, Flint, who else did they sell last summer? They raised a good bit of capital, didn't they? Because
went back to Chelsea.
Yeah, so. Yeah, I think he did a pretty good job considering sort of the outgoings he had to deal with Lee Johnson last summer, in terms of where they did finish.
I was surprised how close they got to play.
Yeah, and you know, it could well happen again this year that they lose some of their key players again. You know, that seems to be, you know, their sort of way that they operate there is relying on these player sales. So I'd say that getting them out of the way early doors is good. A big long away trip, you know, these shouldn't be too sort of shouldn't have tired legs, should they, by that point. So. In terms of an opening fixture, I don't think it's too much to be scared about.
It's a good opportunity to make a statement, isn't it?
That's it,
Having one of the newly promoted sides or one of last season's strugglers, if Leeds had gone on Tottenham, people would be putting an asterisk next to it. A little bit like with Christiansen a couple of years ago. Leeds started really well, didn't they, under Christiansen?
Good first couple of months.
And everybody was saying, the fixtures are very, very easy. So I think it's not quite the same level as Stoke was last season, because of course Stoke City were the pre-season title favourites 12 months ago. But you know, it's a top eight side. It's certainly a side that consider themselves playoff candidates, and if you go away there on the opening day of the season and win, then that is a statement of intent.
Absolutely.
Much as it was 12 months ago for Leeds and Bielsa.
Yeah, and that really set the tone, didn't it?
Massively. August was arguably their best month of the season.
Yeah, and that momentum kept them really right through the autumn into the winter, didn't it? Yeah.
I'm sure most of you have ever seen the fixtures. Yeah. I'd be amazed if anybody listening to the podcast hasn't seen the fixtures yet, but we'll rattle through them. So in August, it'll be Forest, will be the first visitors to Elland Road. That's, of course, on the second weekend of the season. So Forest will feel the Elland Road effect under Bielsa 2.0.
Yeah, that should be good.
Then away at Wigan 7 days later. This is all subject to change, of course. Sky Sports watching.
Very much so.
Then currently 4 days later, so the first midweek league game of the fixture. Of course, the Carabao Cup will pop up at some stage. Brentford will be the visitors to Elland Road for the first match under the lights of 1920.
Had a big save last season, so that's
Stoke City will pop up again in August, but this time we'll go to the Bet365 Stadium, and I've already foolishly suggested that Stoke might actually be warm in August, and that may be the best time to visit the Windy City. But
I scoffed at that when Baron said that.
It's got its own ecosystem.
It does,
isn't it?
Yeah. That stadium is.
And then August is rounded out on the. I think that's the bank holiday weekend, if not the weekend after.
At the moment,
Swansea City will visit Elland Road without Dan James, so there'll be no more Dan James chance next season. So Swansea will round out August, and of course that then brings us into the first international break. So, how do you see August? Could be worse. Could be better.
Yeah. I don't think it's too tricky. Leeds go into the season as the bookmakers' favourites, which, I mean, I can't remember the last time that happened. We're in brand new territory here. And I genuinely don't think they will be scared of anyone. I mean, we've still got, we've got 5-6 weeks until the season starts. So we've got a pre-season to get through. We've got a transfer market to get through, because, of course, the transfer window does shut at the start of August this year. So we should know the exact makeup of Leeds United and their opponents by then. But Nottingham Forest, Martin O'Neill didn't really pull up too many trees, no pun intended. Last season, Wigan beatable.
We said that on Good Friday.
Yeah, we did, of course, yes. Swansea, they've got a new manager in, they've lost some key players.
That's Swansea there for the taking.
Yeah, so.
This will be their transition season.
I think Leeds should have a positive month there. As I say, there's still a lot of X factors to go out there, but it's certainly not an intimidating start. Not like last season's was.
And
of course, we all know how well they did last season.
Well, I think we've obviously crunched the numbers, and obviously this is all done on paper. This is not done on the pitch. So using last season's finishing positions in terms of ranking the difficulty of the opponents, I mean, I don't think anybody suspects Huddersfield Town are going to be the third most difficult fixture they'll face this year. But we have to start somewhere, and we have to put together some kind of data for this kind of... Estimation for difficulty of fixtures. starts. And of course, last season Leeds did statistically have the hardest start to the season of the entire division. But this year, they're very much bang in the middle. They are officially sort of mid-table, if you like, in terms of fixture difficulty. Luton Town, unfortunately for them, are welcomed to the Championship with the most difficult start to the season. I've not looked at who they're playing, but their average finishing position last year was 7th. So of their 6 opening opponents, their average finishing position was 7th. I'd imagine there'll be a few of the Premier League relegated sides in there, so difficult for Luton. But Sheffield Wednesday, Steve Bruce's Sheffield Wednesday, hopefully with a full summer under his belt there, and if he gets the deals he wants done, we know Steve Bruce can do it at this level. And,
yeah.
And they have a very, very easy start to the season. Their first 6 opponents averaged a 20th finishing position last year, so a lot of relegation fodder in theory.
Yeah, and Bruce was able to get his feet under the table at the end of the season. Obviously, they saw an upturn then in results, and now he'll have a full summer to get his ideas across. They could be sneaky good, I think, next season Wednesday. I think they'll be tricky.
What do you make of the running, Joe? That's obviously the next thing we'd like to look at,
is how the
season may finish, because of course, all being well, Leeds will be going for promotion in the final 5 or 6 weeks of the season.
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, let's pick up at the start of April. So that's the last sort of 5 or 6 games there. Again, they've got a fairly nice stint there. Blackburn away, Stoke City at home, Swansea away, Barnsley at home. You would like to think if Leeds are in a position where they are chasing promotion at that point, these will be the sort of games that they would like to win. That includes the Easter schedule, doesn't it? Easter's later this year, I think, isn't it? So Swansea are on, that's Easter Monday, isn't it?
Yeah, the 13th of April.
Yeah, and then Stoke on Good Friday. So 2 games close together, but, I mean, obviously, it's hard to call how these teams will pan out during the season,
yeah.
but certainly nothing too daunting. And then the last 2 games are very interesting. So penultimate game of the season, which is the final away trip. It's certainly one that a lot of Leeds fans will have been looking for when the fixture was released this morning at 9 a.m. Derby County away, so the chance to settle a few scores. Again, talking about unknown quantities there, we don't know who's going to be the manager there. Currently, Frank Lampard is still there, but you get the feeling he's sitting by his mobile phone waiting for a phone call from someone in Kensington.
Sire was available today, wasn't he?
He was, in Turin. So yeah, the Chelsea job still open. Lampard's still the overwhelming bookies favourite there. And if the only thing stopping that, I think, is just the two sides agreeing a deal.
Compensation.
They do, and Derby and Chelsea are quite pally, as we saw last season with all the loanies.
I'm sure Neil Morris may say, "Well, you can have Frank for this price as long as we get X, Y,
exactly.
and Z from your academy."
Yeah. So. It looks like we'll deny the Frank Lampard reunion, but as we saw, Leeds, apart from probably a 10 or 15 minute period, were better than Derby County last season on the 4 games they played. So I mean, that'd be a lovely way to sort of wrap up promotion or something, wouldn't it, in Derby's backyard? That would really sort of put the demons to bed, wouldn't it, of last season. That would really help us get over there. But if it's still all to play for going into the final match of the season, that is on the 2nd of May, which seems a long way away, 2nd of May 2020. That really sounds like it's in the
2020
future.
2020 doesn't feel right.
That is Charlton Athletic, which has some more narrative knocking around.
Lee Bowyer's Charlton Athletic.
Lee Bowyer, yeah. So another late 90s, early noughties Premier League goal-scoring midfielder. But one that Leeds fans preferred a lot more, Lee Bowyer. Obviously, a bit of a fan favourite when he was here, did some great work for the club in Europe in the last sort of truly good, great Leeds United team.
And of course, the great irony, of course, is that the reunion we're talking about may not even happen.
Yeah,
I mean, you have to look at Charlton Athletic's recent history, their owner's history, his relationship with his managers, and, I would love to see what the odds are, to see what the odds on Lee Bowyer surviving the season.
But if he's still there in May, he'll have done
a very good job.
2 seasons in charge of Charlton, and given the ownership problems there and everything
it's
that goes
unusual.
On, that would be unreal. That would be like Massimo Cellino holding on to someone for a couple of years. So, that could be nice. Lovely little tidbit as well, that the last home game Leeds United played in the Premier League was Charlton Athletic. So could that be the last home game Leeds play in the Championship? Perhaps that might be one for all you sort of Omen fans there. So, in terms of the start and the running,
it looks okay.
Yeah, I mean, there is one particularly tricky patch, isn't there, Barry? Which I know you flagged up in a piece you did this morning.
So we've obviously looked at the start and the finish. We'll now look at sort of streaks of fixtures. Mm. The story of the season will pan out as it comes, but if we're looking ahead and predicting where the boggy bits may be and the sections where Leeds could really build up some momentum and start racking up some wins, there's two sections really that stand out as especially difficult. Again, on paper, using last season's form, we do have no idea how these sides are going to pan out. Early March, from March 7th to March 18th, that's across 11 days, Leeds will play all three of the Premier League's relegated sides back to back. So they will host Huddersfield Town on March 7th. 1 week later, they will then travel down to Cardiff City. And you know, if people are looking at odds, Cardiff, you would think, are not going to lose too many of their players. They didn't have a lot of Premier League class in that squad last season, so you would have thought they're not going to have too many players poached. So if they can retain that squad on paper, that's a very good Championship squad. And for better or worse, Neil Warnock, aside from his spell at Elland Road, does have an excellent record at this level. And you'd think, unless something drastic happens, they will be there or thereabouts. And a trip to Cardiff City,
long trip
in March, could really be quite a decisive fixture. And that is then followed just 4 days later by Fulham's visit to Elland Road in a midweek night game. So again, I mean, I don't think, there's not that much backing really for Huddersfield, but we are just basing it on last season, the fact they're coming down, who knows who they may well spend their Premier League parachute payment on. But those three stand out. I mean, it's quite unusual to have three Premier League relegated sides back to back across such a small period in spring, of course, when everybody really starts to get a bit jittery and looking ahead to who really is going to be looking at getting promoted. And there is a spell, Joe, you can see on your fixtures where I've picked out December. I mean, it's interspersed with a few decent fixtures, but from December 7th to New Year's Day, again, you've got the three relegated sides and one West Bromwich Albion at the Hawthorns.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, West Brom's the New Year's Day game at the Hawthorns away. Birmingham City away just before that as well. We've been denied the Gary Monk reunion because obviously he got his marching orders this week as well. Funny how it pans out, doesn't it? This these three, it's three and four games.
Strange how the computer works. I mean, I'm sure there are glitches where some matches will sort of be drawn together at home and away. But it really has proved that way with the relegated sides. I mean, Cardiff and Fulham are back to back on both occasions.
Yeah, that's right. Hull City are the other team that breaks in there, and obviously that's at home. Obviously, Hull at Elland Road came and ended
the run. Yeah,
seven game winning streak, wasn't it? Yeah, that was just after Christmas. So yeah, again, another big game. Hull, another managerless team as well. We don't really know what to expect from them. I mean, I'd be doubtful that Hull are going to do as well as they did last season. Yeah, I think Nigel Adkins did a very good job. I think the club was foolish to create the situation where he has gone. So hopefully, you know, that should be a bit more straightforward. Preston on Boxing Day, that's another date that people look out for. Another home game on Boxing Day, so don't have to worry about too many miles on the motorway, so you can get back to eating your turkey sandwiches on Boxing Day. Preston, none of these sides, well, they're very streaky last year, weren't they?
So very much so.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise you if one of these teams we talk about, you know, Preston or Hull, for instance, you know, by the time you play them, could be, you know, up there, could be on a really good run.
Absolutely,
you know?
It's all about form.
Preston had actually a good run last season. They won six, seven games in a row, didn't they? So that's the problem really with when you're going over a fixture list at this stage.
I mean, if we're talking about form and momentum, it's important to mention that going into that tricky December spell, Leeds have got an amazing opportunity to rack up some wins. I mean, we've just been talking about winnable games. I mean, we're not suggesting there are any easy games at this level, but again, looking at, based on paper, looking at the sides that had difficult seasons last year, if you look at October 5th on your fixture calendars, I'm sure you're all following this video with your fixture calendars.
That's what we're doing.
So October 5th begins with a trip to Millwall. Again, not easy. It is just one of those baby fixtures that you have to just survive and get through.
No Steve Morrison though. He's gone to Shrewsbury. Zlatan
has gone to Shrewsbury. So you go from Millwall away, Birmingham then come to Elland Road, and we travel to Preston again in an evening kickoff.
Every year.
Don't know how long that one goes back for, but I know the last two seasons when I've been Preston away, they've both been midweek evening games. Then Sheffield Wednesday away. Again, we don't know what we're going to get with them. There follows QPR at Elland Road. Warburton, how is he going to fare? He's not Steve McLaren. How will they get on? Then Blackburn at Elland Road. Then Luton away. You've got to be beating the newly promoted side. You simply have to do that. And then Reading away at the Medeski. Now, unless something amazing happens there, I can't really see Reading kicking on much, to be honest. Not spending much money, keeping the same coach there. And then Middlesbrough come to Elland Road on November 30th. Again, we don't know what Jonathan Woodgate's going to do there.
Yeah, but again, it's another one of these old boy reunions.
So, talking Luton Reading, we can point that out later, but they're two back-to-back away trips, 3 days apart, and Reading is another midweek evening game.
Again,
that. Quite similar to Bristol away and Reading away last season, which were back-to-back, so not easy on the mileage, not easy on our sleep time. But that run, it does stand out based on last season as being a particularly decent run for the team. And as with every promoted side, you do need to rack up some runs. You have to have a long sort of run of wins or an unbeaten run to secure its momentum and just to get some breathing space with the teams.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, as well, another thing to factor here is the international break. So the Millwall away game, that comes before the October international break. So those three games there, you look at Birmingham, Preston, Sheffield Wednesday, although we've said we're expecting better things from them. If they can come out of the international break and really, get in with a few wins there, that could really set them up well for this sort of like middle third of the season, couldn't it? Which Leeds did well during last season. That was when they went on this run.
Yeah, that was when the run happened last time, wasn't it?
Yeah, slightly later, I think, wasn't it? It was just before Christmas. I think it was after the... We've got another international break in November. It's Blackburn at home on the 9th, and after that there's this break. You get those, they get them thick and fast, don't you, in the autumn, those international breaks. One other notable thing as well, the Birmingham game, which we mentioned on the 19th, that's going to be Leeds' first game as a Centurion, because it's the 100th anniversary on the 17th of
October. Recognition, by the way.
So that could be sort of a good occasion at the club. I'm sure they'll be putting something on there. So yeah, that should be quite interesting.
So in terms of other notable fixtures we've picked out, we're talking maybe narrative or headline writers, people like us who are looking for a narrative, these things will develop.
Yeah.
But the ones that stand out, and from what I understand, this match is possibly more important to the opposition than to ourselves, but Huddersfield Town, the noisy neighbours, very much enjoy facing off with Leeds United and like to think of themselves as a near rival, whereas Leeds have got bigger fish to fry. I would understand.
Historically, a Leeds fan would say the bigger rivals are Manchester United, Chelsea, Liverpool, Huddersfield. Only have eyes for us, really.
So December 7th is when we visit. What's the latest name? What's the latest sponsor?
John Smith.
John Smith.
Still John Smith, I think. Yeah. So Huddersfield have had a good record against Leeds of late. Obviously they haven't played for a couple of years, but before then, it wasn't a vintage Leeds side under Cellino.
So they're going to be made to wait. We've got to wait 4 months from the start of the season before we will face off with the Terriers.
But we're saying that's quite up for getting them getting those early doors. And then the Elland Road fixtures in March, isn't
March
it? 7th of March.
March 7th, ahead of the Premier League games.
It will be moved, obviously, for some way. How many do you think will get moved, Baron?
Well, what was the going rate last year? Was it 20-odd?
24 were televised. I think that includes the playoff semis.
And that's the promotion chasing Leeds. So pretty much, I think it's going to be there or thereabouts.
Yeah, that was half the fixtures, which just goes to show, we sit here saying, right, we can plan our lives now, we can sort out where we're going to go, we can, divvy up the work and everything, but we can't, because every 5 weeks, Sky going to throw us some curveballs, but...
We've alluded to Derby in the narrative there. I think, if you believe the reports, it does seem more and more likely that Frank Lampard won't be returning to Elland Road unless it is in a cup competition next season.
Yeah.
So whether they do or not, I'm sure there's going to be some narrative, and Derby have actually drawn attention to it themselves. Derby are quite keen to keep this feud running.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, you look at how most clubs have handled this on social media. Leeds put a graphic out, a few tweets. Calvin Phillips has done a bit of media duty, so he was there. Whereas Derby have tweeted out an image of the Leeds and Derby badges, hyped up the fixtures. I mean, they did with Forest as well, who's their traditional big rival.
That's understandable, we're not Leeds.
But yeah, it just seemed a bit bizarre. And there's a lot of Leeds fans saying, we're rent free in your heads, which it's true, isn't it? It seems like it is. So they're keen to stoke that up into a big game, and I'm sure it will be. Yeah.
Neil Warnock. I've already alluded to the fact he was infamously unsuccessful with the Whites. No love lost really there. He will be at Elland Road, I'm sure, a date that a lot of you want to be there for too.
Yeah.
To chuck some pelters his way. December 14th, pre-TV change, because I'm certain that will be changed as well.
Yeah, that will, won't it?
Given Cardiff's stature.
Yeah.
But in theory, it's going to be the weekend of December 14th at Elland Road. And then March 14th, exactly 3 months later, it will be to Cardiff City Stadium in what could be a pivotal match in the promotion chase going into the spring.
Looking at now, you size up like we did sort of Brentford away game. I think we looked at those sort of games, didn't we, this time last year. So I think that's going to be big.
And, I mean, I suppose we've sort of come to the end of the analysis, and I suppose what we've learned is that we're going to play everybody twice.
Yeah.
And much of the time we've just spent telling all this probably means very, very little when it comes to when the matches when they arrive, because form is very, very temporary.
That's
and
it.
A lot will change.
Yeah, well, we've got a whole transfer market to play out, a whole transfer window, don't we? Because there's not been a great deal of movement in the transfer market this summer around the Championship. A few early deals have got done, but I don't think we've had any real sort of blockbuster deals yet, have we?
Across the division. There's been a little bit of chatter that perhaps that the market is moving a little bit slower than in other years. Time will tell. We have actually been hearing from Angus talking of transfers. Angus Kinnear was on Sky Sports News today, so Angus was put up by the club alongside Calvin Phillips to speak to Sky Sports with a little bit of reaction, of course. Sky, like the rest of us, are desperate for news, and fixtures is always a good opportunity to chuck a lot of resource at it and to get some reaction to it as menial as it can be. But Angus has been speaking, and is it an update about an update, or
yeah,
an update about the lack of updates?
Exactly. It won't surprise you that Angus, he didn't go on Sky Sports and reveal all of Leeds' transfer plans. He didn't give a list of targets and a list and the budget, but I'll read you what he said. You can read the whole thing on the website here. Lots of you have been doing, so that's been great. He said, we're very confident in the squad we've got. They came very close. We believe they deserve to go up and have absolute confidence in the squad. But as always, we're looking for opportunities to strengthen the squad. And if those opportunities come, we will take them. So I think it's not to be hugely unexpected. There's a lot of reaction here. People are going online and saying, oh, just showing a lack of ambition. You know, we need to spend lots of money. We need to, you know, get another £10 million striker. We need to do this. But
remind me, Joe, where did we finish last season?
Finished third.
Yeah. We finished third. You were very close to promotion.
Not for 10, 15 minutes of madness in the Derby County second leg. They would have been in the playoff final. So consistency and continuity is really the buzzword this summer. Got to remember, when Bielsa takes charge down at Ashton Gate, he'll be the first Leeds manager to be in charge of the club on the season opening day since Simon Grayson in back-to-back years. So it's been 10 years, basically, of a new manager every year. With a new manager comes, you know, new ideas, new training, new players. And Leeds, for once, can enjoy a bit of continuity. Mm. And, you know, you don't want to rip this squad up. You don't want to change too much. We know it was fine margins. We know the main things that happened last year were Leeds failed to take their chances, their inefficiency in front of goal, which Bielsa seemed to be very confident is something
correct.
That he could correct. Brings you on to something else Angus said in this interview. He sort of agreed that the biggest signing of the summer for Leeds was getting Marcelo Bielsa back on board. Completely agree with that. Yeah. I think he would have far more of an impact than any individual player can have. And he said, he's committed. He knows there's unfinished business to do. He's disappointed that we just fell short last season, but absolutely has the belief that he knows precisely what to do to make sure we get it right this year. And I, for one, you know, accuse me of drinking the Kool-Aid, but I believe that Marcelo Bielsa will have done his homework over the last, how long has it been since the Derby game? Five, six weeks. He will have put the hard yards in. He will have done the work. He knows what he's doing, and he will be working day in, day out to try and create the problems.
Absolutely, ultimate faith in that. And I think we've tried to touch upon that in a lot of our pieces around the club's transfer policy this summer. We've done keep or sell pieces, and I've offered my opinion on a few players already. And I think as much as there is an inclination as football fans in the modern world is just to constantly see changes, and it's almost a bit like retail therapy, isn't it? It's the idea of owning something new. And I think all fans and all human beings generally, we like owning new things, don't we? You know, that sparkly new thing in the corner, you know. And in this case, we'd like it to be a sparkly new X, Y, and Z players in certain positions, and we want to spend tens of millions of pounds. But in reality, when you look at this, not just as a business, but as last season, a successful football club, you really do just need a few trimmings around the edges, you know.
I think so, yeah.
you know, I looked at people like Luke Ayling and I thought, you know, Luke Ayling didn't blow me away for large periods of last season, but he is a really steady pro who put in a lot of 6 and 7 out of 10 last year, and that is what you need to get out of this division.
Mm.
And if you go out of your way to kind of move people like Luke Ayling on and put your eggs in a new basket at right back, an unproven player who is new to the club, you don't know how he's going to settle, you'll have to spend money on him. It's just an unnecessary risk, really. And I think that the changes that they do make this year will be well thought out and will be made for good reason. And to be honest, the squad is so small, they can't make that too many changes. And when you consider that they've already lost the players that were here on loan, there's already a few openings there that can be filled without needing to move anybody on. So whilst you can't legislate for unhappy players or some players that may want to move on, there's obviously a few rumours out there knocking around where some players may try and push through the move themselves. In general terms, I think you're right, Joe. I think Angus is quite right to have a lot of faith in last season's squad. I mean, as we've said, they got third, they got to the first semi-final, and a few changes here and there is all they really need.
That's it, yeah. And I mean, as you said, if there are opportunities to strengthen, they will. It's no secret the club are after wingers. Helder Costa is probably the name that's been linked. I've seen a couple of questions have come in already. I've seen his name mentioned. I think if the opportunity does arrive where they can bring in a good quality player like that, they will. But also, I think the other area where they'll add to it is the young players coming through the academy.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of the differences to last season's squad that we will see. When the new season does start, you can expect players like Jamie Shackleton to be far more involved.
Mm.
He showed what he could do against Derby in the playoff semi-finals. There's plenty more players where he came from. You know, Robbie Gotts is one that might be sort of on the scene a bit more. Perhaps Edmondson as well. Clark O'Dor is another player that Bielsa is very keen on. So, I think don't go expecting, you know, sort of a razzle-dazzle transfer window. Is what I'd think, and I think this is reflective in Angus's quotes in that he's sort of keeping his expectations in check, and I think he's right to do so.
Should we do some questions?
Let's have a look. What have you been saying? Yeah.
Matt Thompson, thank you, Matt, for getting in touch. Love watching you guys. Keep up the good work. Thank
Cheers,
you, Matt.
Matt.
It's been some time, especially for those of you listening on the podcast. We're obviously trying to fit holidays and things in.
But
also we want some news to talk about. We don't want to come here and just sit and waste your time and just waffle on about absolutely nothing. Mark Jones makes a very fair point, which I think you alluded to, Joe. No teams should bother us when we're on our game. So if we really are going to be looking for promotion, then we need to be winning, you know, 35 plus games a season.
That's it.
Going unbeaten for 40 games or something across a 46 game season. So you're quite right, Mark. I think, again, we're playing everybody twice, and in theory it shouldn't really matter when you play them because we should be on it from August to May.
That's it, and it's reflective in the way Bielsa sets his stall out. He doesn't change for anyone, home or away, whatever opponent. He has his plan A, and plan B is do plan A better, isn't it?
Russ Vernon, Sky Sports Leeds will change our fixtures, but it's already happened. They are one for one.
On that, we should find out before the end of the month the next slate of fixture changes. They have to give 5 weeks' notice, and there is a few self-imposed deadlines by the EFL. So,
so
I think
for the Forest game, we'll know.
Yeah,
before
June,
the end of
June 29th, I think, is what we believe. It's all nothing certain, but that's when we believe that the next slate should be here by. So, before you go booking travel lodges, train tickets, hold fire there.
Yeah, Mark Jones makes that point as well. All this talk about fixtures won't mean nouts with Sky tinkering.
Yeah.
Mally Robinson, hello lads. Hello Mally, thank you for getting in touch. Richard Johnston, welcome to us back as well. We're marching on together.
Hi,
an interesting start to the season. Yeah, I mean, we're trying our best to make it exciting.
Yeah.
But it is very, very middle of the road. I think for as many promotion candidates, there are also going to be some mid-table fodder in those opening six games. Tim Green, any news on signings, lads? Well, it's June 20th now, so we've got approximately 6 weeks until the transfer window closes for English championship clubs. And there's nothing at this stage. Helder Costa, Ryan Kent, Jack Harrison and Ben White are the four names that are out there which aren't being refuted too strongly. Ryan Kent is one that we're sort of trying to keep on top of. Liverpool haven't even told Ryan Kent what their plans are with him yet, so it's hard to imagine where he's actually going to be next season until they make a decision on what their plans are. So we'll try and keep on top of that one, and of course any other signings, but no, Tim, to be honest with you, there is very little out there at the moment. And I think when pre-season starts and players start coming back and Bielsa maybe starts turning the screw a little bit, and some players want to know where their futures are, because of course these players that are rumoured to be moving on will want to get into pre-season. They want to be with their new teams, they want to be getting into training with their new coaches, so it's in their interests to try and push this through quickly as well, if Leeds is where they want to go. Scott Tyson-Jones, Forest game the week after will be Sky 2, no doubt.
I think the general disposition
should be it will be on Sky.
If Sky can find a narrative, say for instance Brian Clough for that one, yes, they will do so.
I suppose you could say Wigan's a third game, isn't it? Wigan may well escape.
That might be the one. Yeah.
Is that the DW as well? It's a funny one. Mark Jones, hey up guys. Seen this morning that Snodgrass is coming back. Apparently something Hay said in a tweet this morning. Presume it's fake, lads. Yeah, so Phil, our press box colleague at matches, as everybody will know now, has moved on from the Yorkshire Evening Post. And quite quickly, the Twitter brigade have jumped onto his now vacant Twitter handle, and they've been putting out various fake stories today on Twitter. So urge caution.
Read with
caution on Twitter. So what you see, and check the Twitter account before you think anything of it, because
check this one now, because I think it's called Phil Hay YP, as it was, has a handful of followers. So if there's no followers, then it's not Phil. I should probably say on that as well. Recognise Phil's 13 years into covering Leeds United, the Yorkshire Post, absolutely brilliant. That's one heck of an innings he put in there, and very nice piece on their website you put as sort of a parting gift to everyone. Well worth you read that.
Done a huge service, hasn't he, for Leeds fans?
Completely,
And obviously we are well aware of the esteem he is held in by the fan base.
Absolutely,
He's right at the pinnacle of regional Leeds journalism.
And he's a very nice man.
And he's a top guy as well.
He's a top guy.
He's a good guy. Marcus May, hi lads, what do you make of our first month of fixtures? Well, I think we've addressed that, Mark. We won't bore you anymore with that. Mark Jones again, good to see you too. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Mark.
Joe Schmidt, I don't understand why managers try to create a rivalry with Leeds over Spygate. Derby did it, so did Bristol City. Everyone feeds off of Leeds. I mean, we notice that, don't we, really, with the headlines that are out there.
Yeah.
I mean, the media as well. I think that everybody's well aware Leeds is such a huge club at this level, and it's got such a loyal and large fan base. And it's an easy target in terms of building up some motivation or some optimism or some interest.
Yeah.
It's an easy name to put in the headlines.
We're just trying to be funny for Lee Johnson today.
Trying to be one of the lads.
I think.
I think we do hope we'll buy up eventually. I'm sure once the season starts and there's some new stories to write about, that the Spygate stuff will fall away, hopefully.
What else we got?
Dave Booker has mentioned I've got no tie on today. Yeah, very, very casual to me today.
Very warm in the office though. We work in an office that gets very warm, so
Daz Newton is piping again. Hello, welcome back, Saint and Greavesy.
Thanks for that.
Joe, you're having a hard summer, pal, with the paper round. That hair and beard is looking long.
It's a bit. I was on holiday last week.
Has the wife had any comments about that?
Not yet. Don't worry. I'll be looking trim again before the season starts.
Russ Vernon thinks it's an easy start. Did we go that far?
Not too tricky, is it?
Gary McMenamin, hey guys, welcome back. Angus Kinnear hinted that there may not be any new faces this morning, only unless the players they want can strengthen the team and get over the line. Yeah, I mean, this was a little bit of a story last summer as well. I mean, they're very important, keen not to just bring in dead wood or squad players for the sake of it, because they've got the young lads that can come through and fill those squad places. What they want is players that will make a discernible difference to the first team, which is an admirable target.
Well, so, Bielsa doesn't want players who don't play. You know, I think, as well as that's how he likes to coach. He doesn't like to string players along like that. I think it's sort of that personal side of it as well. You know, he will ship players out if he doesn't need them. We've seen Paddy O'Connor go. That's the one bit of transfer business Leeds have done. Is that Monday night? I think it was, wasn't it? Tuesday night. Yeah, he's joined Bradford on a permanent deal, free transfer there. So we will see. See how he gets on. I think he'll do quite well in League Two personally, but I don't think he was going to make the grade at Leeds United.
No.
So it's a wage off the wage bill, which I think is what they'll try to do with a lot of these fringe players. We saw them all have loan moves last season. I imagine the club will be working to properly get them off the wage book now. You know, some of these players that did go out, not too many of them tore up too many trees on their loan spells, did they, last season? So I think that we'll see cutting ties as far as we can, as much as possible, and just trimming that wage bill down. All helps out with the FFP, which sort of dominates everything.
certainly don't read into Angus's comments that they're not going to do anything there.
What you're saying is
that they want to get the right players, not any players.
And as well, when you're CEO of Leeds United, you don't tell everyone your plans, do you? It's obvious. You don't say we're going to spend this much money and alert all selling clubs to what you're going to do. So yeah, it's all sort of part of the pokey game that's involved with the transfer window.
Matt Thompson's asking about the new kit. We've asked about the new kit as well. Yeah. We're led to believe that that they're hoping to have it out before they go to Australia. So we'll see. Time will tell on these things. There's a lot of various third parties involved in new kits and things and launches and commercial aspects, and they've got to obviously get the timing right of this to capitalise on sales. So there will be a new kit. We understand it will be 32 red again, it will be Kappa again. So keep an eye out, really. I mean, there is no date in place yet, but what we do know is they are hoping for sort of first half of July.
Yeah, you'd be surprised if they're not playing the pre-season friendlies in it, certainly sort of the second half of pre-season friendlies.
It wasn't great last year, was it, playing it in the training kit?
Wasn't ideal.
The blue training kit.
Yeah, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, everyone moves on and it's all fine, but yeah, I'm sure the commercial opportunities that are there for this trip to Australia won't go ignored by the club.
Russ Vernon is asking about our new plans for the Carabao Cup.
The Carabao Cup, yeah, we'll be live.
Some coverage.
We will be live blogging the whole draw on the site. So if you don't happen to be in the London branch of Morrison's, where they're doing the draw from, the weird fever dream that will be John Barnes and Ray Parler plucking balls out in the fizzy drinks aisle in Morrison's, that's going to come to reality tonight. But yeah, we'll have all the coverage you need on the website. I don't think we'll be popping up live on here. You know, we don't need to hear from us twice in a day. But yeah, we'll have full reaction for you there. Leeds the number 17 ball. Chelino's unlucky number, so we'll see if that does anything. Who do you fancy bearing there? Nice short trip home game, or do you want to?
I think I quite like Lincoln City away. I spent a lot of my formative years growing up in Lincoln, and I've not been back to Central Bank very often recently. So a nice, it's not too long a trip that, a trip to Central Bank away on a nice August evening. Would do me quite nicely. I know you want you want a bog standard let at Elland Road match, don't you?
Well, yeah. If we're not going to have a nice easy one at Elland Road, we'll just crack on with our lives. Wouldn't mind going to Salford. That'd be quite interesting.
Yeah, Salford's good.
New grounds. Like, yeah, exactly. Tick another one off the list. So yeah, we'll see. I think that starts at 7 o'clock tonight. So obviously, stay tuned to leeds-live.co.uk. You'll get everything you need from there.
Dorian Wathan, we need another central attacking midfield to replace Saeed, because Saeed is still technically a Leeds player. Getafe are not taking him, so if he is going to move on, Leeds need to find a new home for him. Mm-hmm. Dorian has suggested Luke Freeman. Well, in terms of the central attacking midfielder, my interpretation is because of this winger interest, and because Helder Costa especially is a right winger, my assumption would be that Pablo may well get moved in permanently.
I think so. Yeah,
because he was used very regularly there by Bielsa last season as a plan B of sorts. And of course, he is another year older. His legs are going to be a little bit more weary. Can he be trusted to get up and down that right wing and support Luke Ayling?
And he can have more of an influence on the game in the middle.
He's got the technical ability to pull the strings.
When Leeds were chasing games last season, you did see him move into the middle. So I think that's right.
Interpretation.
And Helder Costa, if he is the man Leeds are looking at and want to bring in, does his best stuff on the right, so wait and see on that one.
Peter Matley got a good feeling this season, 100 years of United, can't wait to bring it on.
Script's there, isn't it?
I think it is. I mean, it does. I mean, John Howe did a really good piece, our resident freelance writer, puts together a lovely column on Mondays for us, and he said it would probably be more Leeds United not to do it in the centenary year, do it in the first year of the new centenary, because it'll only be two storybook for us to do it in the 100th year, i.e. last season. John Kavanagh is going on about Luke Freeman as well. I mean, Warburton is in at QPR now, so I do wonder how that will change things for Luke Freeman. But I can't see Luke Freeman making any loan moves. So I think Luke Freeman is going to be, if he is going to move, it's going to be for a fee. And from what we're understanding, Leeds are going to be quite reluctant to spend money this summer. They're going to be looking at loans and maybe some loan fees rather than out and out transfer fees into the millions. So we'll see that one. I know Freeman stood out really, really well. I mean, in that league game, the infamous QPR loss at Loftus Road on that midweek rearranged fixture, Freeman was incredible, really incredible. And I know a lot of people had said before that Freeman traditionally does play quite well against Leeds and has a bit of a reputation in the Leeds following him. And I hadn't seen it before, but on that evening, he ran the show. He carries a bit of timber, Luke Freeman. Bielsa would certainly drill into that, but despite his weight, his technical ability was outrageous that evening. Really tiny player.
Yeah, you talk about loans as well there, Baron. I think we did a piece on this a couple of weeks ago for the site. The loan market has really sort of transformed, I think, how a lot of teams will attack this transfer window, particularly the promotion contending teams. You look at the playoff final, Villa and Derby, the amount of sort of high-class Premier League loanees that were in there, that were integral to their sides and their campaigns. I think that sort of paved the way for what a lot of teams will look to do this season. You know, these really sort of good, young, often English talents are out there in the Premier League. You know, we see sides like Chelsea, Man City, stockpiling, warehousing this talent. And I think now they're learning that they need to give them these really sort of good, juicy championship loan spells at a contending side. And that's, I think, a model that a lot of teams will come. You know, the days of a £10 million transfer fee in the championship, I think, are over now. Teams just simply aren't going to do that anymore.
Phil Stannard, not sure if you mentioned it already, but what do you reckon about the player, returning loan players getting back into the side? I mean, I've looked at this, and there's very few that I see a future for. I mean, he may well have a closer look at Malik Brooks and J. Roy Grott, but beyond that, I don't see anything.
It's hard, yeah. I spoke earlier about wanting to get some of these players off the wage bill. I think a lot of the Victor Orta's work this summer will be phoning around clubs, offering players up. I think Wilkes is probably the one name that stands out for me. Bit of news on him this week as well. He had a court case hanging over him, which was due to start on July the 1st. That's now been pushed back till May, so that he's not well. I mean, it's still hanging over him, but you know, it's there in the future. So perhaps that'll help or hinder his mental attitude, you'd thought. But given what we've seen from him, what his skill set is, his talent, you do like to think what would be able to do with it, how be able to mould him, give him a pre-season. So yeah, perhaps he'll be one of these young players that Bielsa likes to draft in.
Guy McMenamin, is it true Paulie went for free? So that's Paulie O'Connor. He moved on to Bradford City this week, and yes, he did move for free. I think the club probably wanted to try and make it as easy as possible for Bradford.
Yeah.
As Joe has said, they want to try and get some of these lads off the wage bill, and if that does mean relinquishing players for free, then so be it. But I can't imagine, even if they were trying to sell Paulie O'Connor, would have demanded hundreds and hundreds of thousands of pounds.
Exactly.
I think it would have been a nominal fee, if anything, really. Pete Smithy Smith, great to see the lads back. Great coverage as per. Thank you, Pete. That's very, very kind of you.
Cheers,
Paul Griffiths with an interesting point. So if Jack Clark was to go for more than £15 million, I'd love to see us go for Jared Bowen. Can't see us spending that amount, though. He's only got 12 months left, and apparently Cardiff will be signing for £12 million in January. I mean, Jared Bowen, he really had quite a phenomenal season for Hull, as Leeds fans know. And there were various rumours in January about Jared Bowen, but that was never a runner. The club told us that he was never really considered, and I think, as Joe has said, that's the sort of transfer the Premier League clubs are going to make. You're not going to see anybody in the Championship spending that kind of money.
Yeah, interestingly, you talk about those two players. I've been speaking to some of our colleagues down in London who cover Spurs, and they said that for Spurs, the two players they were scouting in the Championship last year were Clark and Bowen.
I've heard that from a few people.
They've made the decision that Clark's the one they want to go after over Bowen. So that's quite interesting. But yeah, I mean, Leeds, it wouldn't be a straight swap in terms of, right, put that money in for Bowen, because Bowen obviously is going to want a lot higher wages if he's moving on that. So yeah, it's not a zero-sum game, that transfer. And yeah, Bowen will have a slice in the Premier League, I think.
Well, I think on that note, we'll all wrap things up. I think we've pretty much drawn a line in the most things. We've discussed the fixtures, we've discussed a few minor transfer issues there, but again, there's not a huge amount out there. There's not a lot of new information out there on the transfers. Players are back in for pre-season next week, so that's a week commencing the 24th,
Monday morning they'll be back at Thorpe
Arch. So the vast majority of the letter leave will be back, and then in the days and weeks after, the international players will be back.
Yeah.
And then hopefully we'll see Bielsa at some point in pre-season. Last season we didn't. We had to wait until the press conference with his launch as new manager. But in terms of the pre- or post-match, it wasn't until before the Stoke City game.
That's right.
So we may well not get much Bielsa this summer. Obviously we cross fingers. But Joe and I are actually joking in the office about how much we're actually missing him.
True.
See, he's a bit of a grandfather figure for us.
Not seen him for more than a month now. We're missing him and Celine. I suppose one of the things talking about pre-season then, we have had the pre-season schedule fleshed out a bit more, haven't we? Trips to York City and Guiseley are coming up back to back, 10th and 11th, I think, of July.
Right.
And then obviously that weekend the squad will jet out to Australia for Manchester United and Western Sydney
Wanderers.
I always want to say Warriors.
I know.
Yeah, sorry to any of our Australian viewers, listeners there. But
confirmed fixture for the
27th. Confirmed for the weekend before it starts. So everything's looking a lot more mapped out now, pre-season, in the first few weeks of the season. So yeah, we'll start to feel a bit more real now, isn't it, Baron?
It certainly is, yeah. And of course, we'll try and bring as much coverage as we can. We'll go live where possible, blogs, stories, yeah. Of course. So stay on top of it, and we will see you next time.
Cool. Cheers, guys.